Back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Phone lines are open. Reach out and touch Jeff at 367-1240.
Straight up 11 o'clock. My pleasure on Thursdays, usually following city council meetings, to be joined by New Iberia Mayor Freddie DeCourt. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming by as always.
Glad to be here.
Productive city council meeting on Tuesday night. We'll get into it in just a little bit. Anything else on the fire you want to address before we jump to that?
No, let's jump in.
All right.
It was a good meeting.
The talk a little bit about the district attorney's presentation and the city's willingness to jump on board and help with a new Acadiana crime lab.
Yep, crime lab is something important. It's a tool we need. If we're going to get those convictions on the hard work our officers put in, and as Councilman Lewis pointed out, make sure that we don't convict the wrong person, that some people might be found innocent because of those that same effort. It's an important piece of law enforcement, and of course, in the district attorney's world, it's everything because he's got to prosecute a whole lot of cases for three different parishes. And so he did a really good presentation on the need. And we're chipping in, as is every other community, both in the parish level and the various municipalities, to chip in to pay our portion, if you will. So most of the money's come from the state, but it's a big ask. So he has to run around and make a big ask himself to come up with the match money. It was no small dollar amount, $400,000+. But it's something that we will find a way to come up with because, like I said, it's an important aspect of what RPD does.
It's an interesting funding formula, too. Often it's per capita, maybe, but this seemed like it's more by use.
Yeah. I did get the feeling that it was user-driven, and we are a user. Mm. So, it, like I said, it's an important thing. So I think he got a little creative in figuring out how to pull this off, but it certainly there's a need, and his presentation, you know, undoubtedly shows that, you know, there's a need.
Yeah.
Parish Council had a similar item on their agenda that they also, I think, dealt with Wednesday night, last night.
So. Right.
No, last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday.
A week ago, Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's making his rounds. He's a hardworking guy.
No doubt. Had a chance to hear from Erica. I'm not sure about the pronunciation of her last name. SAPAC. With the Iberia Parish Rabies and Animal Controls Operation. I learned a lot.
Well, I'd had a meeting with her, and she was spouting other, she's on a game, and she was spouting all these facts out and spouting everything out she's doing, plus a few things she left off. And I was like, man, this is some positive stuff. You know, we get beat up because we have too many loose dogs and cats, as does everybody else. And I was like, man, I think I need to get out how it's kind of being restructured. We pay more money than ever. We went up on our agreement, and I was like, okay, you know, I think this is some positive stuff. Why don't you come to our meeting? So she did, and she did a really good presentation, and I learned a lot just as I had in meeting with her. And, you know, it's a challenging issue for us, but we're working, and I feel, you know, like we have a true partnership in that we are working together to try to, you know, get past some of this and get these animals taken care of. But I was amazed at, you know, how many of our dogs – and cats are shipped up north and adopted so that they're not euthanized here. But that just amazed me at how many that actually, you know, made it to the north.
And it's great to hear.
It is. Yeah. It is. So I thought, you know, really good meeting.
Very good. Just got a question from a listener about handicap parking and asking for maybe more enforcement on illegal parking in handicap spaces. And this one pointed out grocery stores as well.
Okay, well then,
is that more complaint driven?
Yes. To be honest with you, we have a lot of calls for service a day. Our offices answer over 100 calls to 150 calls for service in a single day. So our town is very active. We do some traffic enforcement. We probably don't do enough. I'm not a big ticket guy, but I'm not driving the bus on that either way. But we are reacting and trying to be proactive and worried about our response times and getting the calls. So I do think that that is more complaint driven. I will pass it on because I need to. That's my job. But that is at this time that is something that is more, you know, complaint-driven.
And again, citizens, if you see it, witness it, find it to be an issue, especially if you're someone who deserves that parking. Call, and I would use the non-emergency number, perhaps. But again, to call in those concerns. Appreciate the listener call. You also had a chance to hear from Lori McGrew on Maddie's Footprints.
Yeah, she had contacted us and asked us if that was something that we could put on the agenda. We keep, as you notice, since I've been the mayor for 5.5 years, we keep our business, our meetings very business-oriented. Our agendas are bigger than ever, and will continue to be, you know, big agendas. But that was something that hit, you know, a whole lot of people. And so she spoke, you know, pretty quickly about how they cover expenses for stillborn and for, you know, people who have lost children. And so we put it on and, you know, let her do a little presentation. I really personally hadn't heard of the group until they contacted us.
All right. Resolutions dealt with a lot of project updates.
Yes.
Awarding a contract to TJ Bro Electrical for the T Bayou Wastewater Treatment Plant, which you share with the parish.
Right. We had some electrical upgrades to do there. We have another one, which was the first actually ARPA project, where we're changing a bunch of actuators at our sewer plant at, you know, in Sucrose. And that's a big project. But that was one that was funded from ARPA. And, yeah, what's happening to us is we're starting to release ARPA money. Some grant money is being released. It won't be too much longer. Some state capital outlay, we got to go ahead. We're waiting on some others. So, you know, all that money spent through resolution ordinance kind of, the ordinance moves the money, and then there's a ton of resolutions that come along authorizing me to do various things to keep the ball moving. And the council, you know, I put every single thing. There are things that I put in the agenda that I don't know that you had that many items on before. There were some things that just got handled. But I bring everything to the council, full transparency, and it just shows, you know, what a team we are.
All right. Had to reject some bids for some sewer system.
Yeah,
issues.
We got some bids, and we had an issue with the public notification, and so we just want to keep things right. So we decided we would reject them and put it back out and make sure that we covered all of our bases.
Another issue about public notification later in the meeting in regard to property standards, and we'll get to that in just a bit. But
that was an abundance of caution.
And I appreciate that, no doubt about it. You also had an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the refurbishment of soccer fields at the Pepper Plex.
Yes, quick as we could, if we could get those fields aerated and planted and kind of reworked, the sooner we would, you know, we're just in the growing season, so we didn't want to wait because we're trying to keep things moving for next year's seasons. And so that was something that, you know, we called in some professionals, got LSU involved, got, you know, some high-dollar advice, if you will, and then put it out for bid. And you'll see during the Pepperplex project, the $3 million that we have to spend, we all know it's not enough. It's enough of phase one, but there's going to have to be another phase. But what we're trying to do is make that money go as far as it can. So when we see a small item or a particular, specialty item that we could cut out the herd and bid by itself, well, then you get out a general contractor markup. So, like, we will bid turfing the fields. That will be a price by itself. You know, why spend $1.something million turfing the fields and then have somebody put 10% on top of it? So there will be some instances where I think you'll see various parts and pieces of the Pepperplex bid out separately.
Soccer fields are not getting artificial turf.
It's natural turf.
And I think that's preferred by soccer players. I know at the international level, artificial turf is frowned upon.
Right. And no, they call it turf, but it's not. It's natural turf, if you will.
But we're
concentrating our turf dollars on our baseball fields.
There you go. And again,
the infields.
The infields right now. And you know, in baseball, to avoid rainouts and things like
that, it's great to have. Got
to
have it.
There you go. Had a chance to offer up a couple of police cars to the Vinton Police Department.
Correct. Tried to offer them to my three local municipalities, and for various reasons, they all considered them, but just, you know, for whatever reason, couldn't pull it off. And so Vinton had reached out to us. We got these from Youngsville when we were in our infancy, and so we passed them on.
All right. Also, we already talked about the crime lab, another resolution in regard to, I don't know if it's an expansion of the teen court program. But
it's something new. We had a teen court program years ago, and it went away. Shudu Lewis formed the Gavin Lewis Foundation and picked that as something he wanted to do, he and his board, for the community. So they partnered with Judge Hike, who's behind it 100%. They partnered with Nicole Burke, who's the city prosecutor that works for me, who's also in 100%. So they got together, and that's what this is, you know, a product of that. So teen court is going to happen. The kids are involved. There's a good group. Many years ago, the city used two offices in the courthouse annex because I don't have any space. I mean, I'm budging for space. I've given up a conference room and got some movable petitions and turned that into an office. I've made a closet an office. I've made, you know, I'm doing whatever I can do. But made a couple closets offices. Anyway, so we need to do an intergovernmental agreement to be able to utilize those rooms again on the parish level. And so I'll have one intergovernmental agreement, cooperative endeavor agreement, whatever you want to call it, that will be between the parish and the city, and then one between the city and the foundation. But that's kind of the first step to make that happen.
All right. Property standards dealt with, I don't know, 10 or so pieces of property.
Quite a few properties, and we demoed quite a few properties at this last meeting. I didn't backtrack yet and count. I will. But
some success stories, though, too.
Yeah, and we had a little bit of that. So that's where I was heading. We have to be firm on that to make sure that people realize we're serious. But we have probably three that are being torn down by themselves, by the owners who are taking responsibility. And, you know, it's always good to see.
Some interesting discussion, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
The property on West St. Peter.
Yes.
Some issues with this person in the past. You had some service issues.
Full disclosure, we didn't have any service issues. We just, in abundance of caution, decided to do it again.
Yeah.
We have some past history between this property and property owner, and the city was sued years ago, and they were successful. We have had two or three challenges lately in our system, and we have prevailed on each one, and we will continue to prevail because I listened to my attorney, and we have good policies and procedures and people who are willing to follow them. Jimmy and Liz do a good job of following all, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and Jeff is kind of, you know, the guy who's guiding the ship on this. But we all realize the most drastic thing city government can do is tear your property down. On the flip side, who wants to live next to that and be infringed on by that and have your property values and your quality of life eroded away on a daily basis looking at this junk? And there's no other way to put it, because we give you months and months and every opportunity to take personal responsibility and fix your problem, because it's the community's problem. And as you see, I've gotten very aggressive and will continue to throw in money, time, and resources at handling these properties because they are bringing our whole community down. But with that, I expect that too, and with that comes lawsuits, comes people who just think they can make their own rules and that they just some kind of way don't have to follow and don't have to worry about how their, you know, lack of responsibility affects the rest of the community. So that's pretty well, in my book, unacceptable. But I also know that, you know, I've got some other issues lately. I got some people chasing me down left and right and doing public records requests and just all kind of stuff. Well, I realize that if I'm doing my job and I'm moving and grooving and bobbing and weaving and making things happen, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. The more you make happen, the more you're going to have that. Doesn't bother me. I'm kind of starting to look at it as a mark of success, because if I sat there and just met with everybody and was nice to everybody and really didn't do anything, I bet you I wouldn't have all those problems, you know, but I wouldn't get anything done either. So it's the same thing with the demos. I realize the more demos we do, the more aggressive we do, we will have some success stories because people will see we're serious, and we'll have some lawsuits. And we'll just deal with them. But when my attorney tells me to handle something in a certain way, like in this one, he said, let's slow down. What does 30 days matter? We're going to do the whole process again. So no one will ever, we didn't do it wrong the first time. Now we're going to have done it twice. And legally, you know, in a kind of a weird way, in a little conversation between council members, it was like, yeah, twice is better than once. I said, okay, I'm fine with that. So we basically just slowed the train down enough to do it again, and only because of the history. We don't feel we have to do that on everyone, and our system has been successful and held up in court. But on this one, just to be a little more, you know, sure, we took a little caution.
And I'm just,
which is something new for me.
I'm just wondering out loud, once the approval process is complete, assuming that, and I know you would love to see the property owner step up in advance of,
no doubt.
Does this one have priority on the demo list, though, once?
Well, you know, somebody asked me that because one council person said, okay, well, after we do this again, are we going to speed it up? Well, I started laughing, and I said it in the meeting. There's no way to, you know, we have a system. So what's going to happen is it will go through, public notification will happen again. That person will have another public hearing. They'll have an opportunity to come and speak and tell us what they're going to do and file a flight plan, like I call it. And when they don't do any of that, then we will declare it demoed. And then it goes to the next level, which is why it takes so long to get rid of these. Then it has to be all the utilities have to make sure they're disconnected. Then we have to do asbestos testing because that totally affects the price but also affects the steps you take because we have to dispose of that properly. So it just goes into the system with the other, let's say, six or seven demos that are happening at the same time. And once it's cleared all the utilities, cleared the asbestos so you know what you're dealing with, then you get prices on the asbestos. Then you have the asbestos removed. Then you have prices to, you know, people bid on tearing it down, and then they tear it down. So there's no way to say, okay, you know, just because there's a history there, you know, I'm going to do it faster. It just goes into the system and can't really move any faster than any of the other ones.
In houses, what is usually the asbestos?
A lot of times it's the flooring, okay? Flooring is a big culprit. Sometimes it's the roof and the siding. When you look at those old tile that used to be in the really, really popular in the 40s and 50s, and you go down, like I love them, but you go like on Indes Street, Allen Street, kind of like those early developments from the 40s and 50s, and you see it's an asbestos tile shake. It looks like shakes on the wall.
Yeah.
Sometimes the wall is asbestos most of the time. The roof can be asbestos. The floor tile can be asbestos. And then there's also a lot of houses don't have formica from that time period, and it's almost like a sheet vinyl, okay? Because sheet vinyl flooring, the backing of that early flooring can have asbestos. And then there are some countertops. You'll see these really cool mid-century mod. I love them. My grandmother had a set of those, and I don't know, one of my goofy people remodeled her house and threw them away. But there'll be these sets of metal cabinets with these funky-looking plastic knobs, and almost all the time, the tops, when you feel them, they almost feel a little cushiony. They're made out of asbestos, you know, greatest product in the world, according to 1930-40 thinking. So there's quite a few products, you know, the glue. You can have this black base glue that glues down most of the time asbestos tile, your little floor tile, like a regular VCT tile. If you look like when you were in school or whatever, you know, or just in commercial buildings, those tile are 12 inches by 12 inches.
Yeah.
Anytime you see the ones that are 9 inches by 9 inches, pretty well can you know, bet the farm it's asbestos. They're a little bit smaller. A lot of times when you have those tile, you have some black glue, and that glue has asbestos in the glue.
Mm.
And then you got to remove that too. So it's, you know, I mean, having been in construction for a very long time, I've run across that, you know, many, many times. But those are the things that are normally in residential.
Had a caller hold for a while, but
sure.
Then gave up.
I guess I gave a lecture too long on asbestos.
That's okay. But again, feel free to call back, or if you do have a question or comment, don't hesitate to give us a call. Once I answer, you hear our voices, we'll get to you eventually. But next item, planning and zoning issue, rezoning of properties. Agenda item doesn't mention where this is. CWC Investments.
Oh, it's a little small lot on Center Street.
Oh, there it is, 125 Center
Street. A
little
bit small lot on Center Street. Yeah, and look, and I think he might have done something else too. But any that's just good because it spurs development. You know, it just got moved to what everything contiguous to it was zoned.
That's got to be right by the tracks, huh?
Between the tracks and Main Street, there is a finance company at the corner of Center and Main.
That's a fairly newer building, right?
Was originally a gas station.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Full disclosure, it was my grandfather's gas station.
Is that right?
A million years ago. I'm talking in the 40s and 50s, probably the 30s and 40s. I think by the 50s he was on Indes Street. But behind it, there's some property behind it. It's kind of was associated with a law office, was a house that was converted to commercial years ago, and a lawyer has his office there, and then it's the property between those two structures.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Introduced an ordinance in regard to ARPA money again. What's that all about?
Basically, that just every time we adjust something, we are now paying for the project that we approved a little further down. It's a sewer project. for the actuators for the sewer plant, 600 and something thousand, if I remember. That was paid for by ARPA. So every time we're going to use the ARPA money, we're going to adjust the plan. And we're going to make sure that, you know, because we have to report the way we spend the dollars. There is some money in the ARPA. Everything's dedicated to go to projects. What's going to happen to us, which is, this is a good thing, where we will, if we have $1 million for something and it costs $900,000, well, then I have another $100,000, I will adjust the plan again. So every time we utilize it, it's actually the first, we ordered the fire truck and we ordered the street sweeper. But of projects, this is the first kind of, you know, meat and potatoes, brick and mortar project that we are paying for out of ARPA funds.
All right. Next, and so that'll be up for final adoption.
Yes.
First meeting next month.
Yes.
All right. And most of the council announcements centered on condolences for Parish Council Member Marty Traha.
Yes. Yes. Somebody we all have worked with, a real public servant, been there for a while, and, you know, did a great job, a great community servant.
I will remind folks, visitation for him at Pellerin Funeral Home till 8 o'clock today. Continue again 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. The service will be at Pellerin as well tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Our condolences.
Definitely.
Anything else before we let you go?
No, that's it. Just kind of a busy time for us. Got a lot going on.
No project updates of note, of worthy note?
Let me think. Well, I went yesterday because we had to go look at a few things. The sidewalk, which replaces the boardwalk, which we got in a trails grant, it's just about all poured. There's one little section left, but we kind of toured it yesterday and made a few decisions. There's a set of stairs that go down to the marina that we had to go look at. And then we looked at what's poured so far, but that's moving along. The museum should get their substantial completion on that phase. It's upright that they're working on now. I was on the phone with some of my Baton Rouge delegation today on the capital outlay for next year, kind of going back and forth. So, you know, that's in the works. The roof should get started very soon on the gyms of the school, which that's the one that the state held me up releasing it. But it's going. Trying to think of what else. Kayak dock's completely finished. On Monday, they put the benches and the trash cans in because they finally came in. And then June.
What a great, you know, that property had gone unutilized for such a long time.
I'm telling you.
So great to see it refurbished.
And anywhere I can dig, borrow, turn a rock and find something we can utilize, I want to do it. And we're going to have a ribbon cutting there on June the 4th, the Saturday. We're trying to get a bunch of kayaks, and probably we'll spread it out between the kayak dock and the boat landing in City Park because there's no room at the kayak dock. You know, I mean, it's made for people to come a few at a time.
Yeah.
So we're looking at getting a little band. We're looking at, and the restroom's by the boat dock anyway. Might get a food truck. And that Saturday morning, we're hoping to get a bunch of kayaks and just get people to, you know, we'll cut a ribbon and probably just paddle between it and the park because we'll have everything right there in the park. But it's just to kind of raise awareness to it and really make the community see that, you know, it's open and ready for use.
Very good. We'll let you go.
All right,
appreciate
thank you.
It as always.
Thank
look
you.
Forward to the next time.